So we're going to look at Pentecost today. It's something that I personally have never taught on Pentecost. Didn't know it was a holiday. It was on my calendar. That's how I saw it. I thought, what is Pentecost? So we're going to be looking at today. Penta is five. Penta means five. So we, in the construction field, we have Penta windows. They're five-sided windows. That's how I know what Penta is. So Pentecost is the 50th day after Passover or after Easter. It's actually 7 weeks after Easter, which would be 49 days, but 50 days after Passover. So as you know, Passover was the days leading up to the crucifixion, and that was what they were celebrating when Jesus had the Last Supper, which is what we took partake in this morning, was the communion with the Father, the bread and the wine. And so that is just a little bit of history of what leads up to Pentecost. And if you'll remember, and we'll get into that as we get into the lesson this morning. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and just allow Him to move as He wants this morning. Father, I thank You again for allowing us to be together today. For having us to come to share together today. Lord, we delight in being in Your presence. Father, as I share the word this morning, Father, I ask that You'll speak through me, that I'll not get in Your way, Father, but that I'll allow You to move and do what You want today in the church. Father, give us ears to hear what You're saying today in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're going to start actually in John today. And you've heard me preach out of John 17 and some of the chapters there in John a lot of times. But what I want to show you this morning in these verses in John 14, 15, 16, we're going to be looking at all three chapters there in John, is Jesus proclaiming the Holy Spirit's coming. So he was telling the disciples and the people that he was preaching to for the months leading up to his death how important his leaving was going to be for us, for the future church. Let's just start in chapter 14 of John. So he starts there in verse 1 of 14, and we're going to be looking at several different verses here in chapter 14. But he starts out in verse 1 by, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And I've talked to you guys about this so many different times that He wants us to trust Him. The Father wants our trust in Him. He wants us to, and it took me a while to learn that. I think maturity has a lot to do with our trust, as it does in children. As they grow older, they learn to trust their parents. And as we go through the hardships of life, we learn that we can trust the Father, that He's trustworthy, that He doesn't let us down. And so he starts out there, "But do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me." And then he says, "In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you also may be where I am." It says, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." And so the disciples said, "Well, yeah, but how do we know the way?" And then he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So we're nothing without Him. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. I was actually teaching with the youth this morning, and we talked about how God is sovereign. He is the only way to eternal life. Jesus is the only way to eternal life, and that's what he was telling the disciples here and the ones who were walking with him. The next verses I want to look at are down towards the end of the next section there, verses 12 and 13. He says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So this is the part where it's important that our will lines up with the Father's will. It's why we spend time in the Word. It's why we spend time in fellowship with the Father, so that we can learn to walk in His will, to walk in His ways, and so that our will line up with His. The verses from the Lord's Prayer that He taught back in chapter 5 of Matthew, in chapter 6, He talks about, "Not my will, but yours be done." And that's the way we have to be, so that we are able to, whatever we ask in His name, He'll do it for us. So, and then down in 15 there, it says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands," or what I command. "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever." He's talking about the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit. It says, I will ask the Father, and He will send you a counselor. He will send you someone to counsel you. So I've learned in the last few years to begin my day with, "Help me, Holy Spirit." Because there's so many things in each day that we need His help with. We need just the help of the Spirit to guide us, to lead us. As I've told you in the past, we're a spiritual man. We need to get rid of our natural man and live by the Spirit. And so our conscience is the Spirit that guides us. That's why, so you're going through life, you can remember things from your youth because of the Spirit that is in you. He brings things to remembrance that we need for that day. And all of you can remember, for instance, of that. Something that happened in your life that you were able to draw from your early learnings of Christ, from your early learnings of Him, and that will help you for today. And like Emily said, each one of us has a story that we can share with someone else that will make a difference in their life because of what we've been through. We all have a story. They're all different. No one's is better than anybody else's. They're all good for somebody, because somebody in life will be going through what you went through, and you'll be able to help them through it. That's why fellowship in the body of Christ is so important. That's why we need each other. That's why we love to come together at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings to share in our time of prayer together, because it's so important for building each other up, for encouraging one another, for just to make your week go better. And so we need that. We need that encouragement, and we draw from our counselor. He's the one who leads us and guides our thoughts, gives us wisdom, gives us knowledge. We've been studying the Proverbs back in Sunday school, and we're just learning so much about how important wisdom and knowledge is, and just learning the things of God that He wants for us to make our life easy, to make us be able to walk in an easy place. And then on in verse 18 there, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So just flip on over now to the end of chapter 14. I want to look at verses 25 and 26 as well. It says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything that I have said to you. And that's one of the things that I was talking about there, how we remember things that he taught us. We remember things that we've read in the Word of God during our day, when we meet people, when we share with people, when we're able to help someone, encourage someone. It's usually a word from the Word of God that we're able to give them, to share with them. So all through, and 15, and I've got verses out of 15 and 16 as well that talk about the knowledge that, and the teaching that he's going to give us, the proclamation that Jesus made to the church about the Holy Spirit coming, and that he was going to send the Holy Spirit and to wait for it. So in 15:4, I just want to look at these verses that talk about remaining in him and are abiding in the vine. You all know the story of the vine and the branches. Beginning with verse 4, it says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So we have to be connected to the vine. Jesus, he begins verse 15 with, I am the vine. He's the vine, we're the branches. And all of you know, and I did some tree trimming this fall or this spring, and we have a tree in the front yard that it's growing so big that I trimmed it back so it would be smaller, because every year the branches grow about 2 feet. So as you know, if we left that thing grow, pretty soon it would be as big as the house. It's an ornamental tree, but it's meant to stay small. And so, and I was just out this morning and trimmed another branch off. So I trimmed it back so it looked more like it just had some shape to it. And I was out looking around this morning and doing some things there, just meditating. And I looked and saw, well, there was a branch sticking out one side that was 2 feet longer than all the rest of the trees. So I just went in and grabbed my pocket knife and took it off. But you know that vine won't live because it's not hooked to the tree. When you take them off of the tree, they won't live anymore. So it becomes dead and worthless. And that's why we have to stay connected to the vine. And then over in chapter 16, again, he tells the disciples in verses 6 and 7, because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. And that's because he told them about his death that's coming, that he was going to be killed and then raised again on the third day. But he says, you're filled with grief, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So had Jesus not gone away, we wouldn't have gotten the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have gotten that Holy Spirit that we need to guide us in life, to walk with us each day. And then on down in 12 to 15 in chapter 16, it says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So And then in verse 16, he says, in a little while, you'll see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. So all the way through here, he's preparing them for his departure. He's preparing them for his leaving and letting them know that because I am going, the Holy Spirit, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you so that you will have guidance, so that you will have enough wisdom and intelligence to get through this life without me here with you. Now, let's just move right on over to Acts now, and we're going to see what he was talking about. So, Acts is written by Luke, and you'll notice at the end of the Gospels that Jesus told him to wait until the Holy Spirit came before they began to go out to disciple and teach again. And those verses for Luke are right here in the beginning of Acts. Let's actually look at the first nine verses here to begin with in Acts. It says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote, so he's talking to Theophilus here, but he said, I wrote to you all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he told them several different times, don't go out and preach until you've been given this power from the Holy Spirit. Until you've received the Holy Spirit, don't go out, because you need the power of the Holy Spirit to lead you. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel, or the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. And it's a good thing that we don't know. You know, he said back in John there, in a little time you won't see me anymore, and then in a little time you will see me. Well, a little time to him, you know, is way different than our little time. I've learned that, well, his days are like 1,000 years, and a day is like, and 1,000 years is like a day. So time doesn't mean a lot to the Father. When you think about eternity compared to our 70 or 80 years here on earth, that's why it says in the Word of God that our life is a vapor. It's a mist. It's here for a little bit and then gone. Did you notice the fog yesterday morning? It was like a mist over the land, and it was here for a little while, then it was gone. Well, that's what our life is here. And he told him, and so we're still waiting for his return, as they were. We know it's not going to be long. It could be today. Could be next week. It might be 50 years. It might be 150 or 1,000. We don't know. But it's going to be short compared to eternity. So, but he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? So they were just, they saw Jesus go. They saw him ascend up into the clouds. And he told them in a short time, you'll see me again. Maybe they were looking for him to come back right away. But they were standing there just watching Jesus go up into the clouds, as he said. And so he said, why are you doing this? Why are you looking in the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. So they had that assurance. They knew that Jesus was coming back. And they had a chance to walk with him, it says here, for 40 days after his resurrection. So they had spent some time with Jesus, and that's when he told them to just wait. Wait till you get the power. Wait till you have the Holy Spirit in your heart to guide you, to lead you. And now we're going to look at the day of Pentecost in chapter 2. And it actually begins right in verse 1. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now, I grew up with King James, and the King James says there they were all in one accord. So this is talking about unity more than the place they were. It's talking about them being in one accord or being in unity. And it's my experience that when God's church is in unity, you can see his power so much more when the church is in unity, when they're thinking alike, when they're together, they're at the same place spiritually. And I think that's what was happening here on the day of Pentecost, because they had just spent 40 days with the Lord, with Jesus. They were learning his ways. And he told them to watch for this. And so they were all together in one place, and they were in unity. And he said, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. As you all know, we've had enough tornado warnings and high winds already this spring that you can hear the wind, a high wind even in the most insulated house. You can still hear it. You can hear a mighty wind blowing. And that's what took place here where they were meeting this day. It says the whole house where they were sitting was filled with this wind, with this sound of a blowing wind. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So, and I have been in services where people have spoken in tongues. I believe this was this day, because we're going to see what it says here following, they spoke in tongues because the church needed to hear this. So it goes on to say, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. So there was all kinds of different nationalities. There was all kinds of different speaking vocabulary. They didn't all say things the same way. It says, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. So I believe that the speaking in tongues was so that each one of them could hear the gospel in the tongue that they knew. Because when it talks about speaking in tongues, it also says that if there's no interpreter, then you don't need to speak in tongues. If there's not an interpreter to interpret, because there's no sense in hearing something you don't understand. and he wants us to understand what we're hearing. So speaking in tongues has often been by the church dismissed because they think it's hokey. They think it's not for today, but it is something that still happens, and it is something, it is one of the gifts of the Spirit. So don't look at it as something that you don't want to experience, because it's not a bad thing, as any of the gifts of the Spirit are not bad. They're good for the church. They're good for the growth of the church. And so it's something that happened here, and that so that it gives us an idea of what the Holy Spirit's power really is. So it's letting the spiritual man grow and doing what God wants us to do. So it says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. So some of them thought they got drunk real quick. And they were just babbling, speaking something that didn't amount to anything. So Peter addressed the crowd, and he said, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice. So this was not just the 11. This was the whole church. This was all of the converts had come together. As it says, they're from nations far away. There's people here from, as we read here, probably a dozen, maybe 15 different nations that they came from to this meeting. And so he addressed the crowd. He said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he goes on to explain to them that this is prophecy being fulfilled. And if you'll go back to Joel chapter 2, you'll see these exact words that were spoken here. The prophet Joel spoke them back there. I don't know how many years before that was. But prophecy was being fulfilled this day. And that's why it's a day that is actually celebrated by Christians. It's celebrating the Holy Spirit coming to the apostles that day. And that's what Pentecost is doing. So that's what we're doing today. We're celebrating the Holy Spirit being given to the church. And I've been in church for all my life, 71 years. And this was the first time that I actually heard preaching on Pentecost. That's why I wanted to bring it. I didn't know if any of you had heard it or not. Pentecost is the day that the Holy Spirit came down after the Jesus went and ascended into heaven, that the Father spoke of. And Jesus said, unless I go, He can't send the Holy Spirit to you. So we have the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. It is a fulfillment of prophecy. I do want to look at verses 38 and 39 in chapter 2 of Acts here before I close today. 38 says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So this promise is for all of us. It was not just for the church that day, but it's for all of us, for all who believe. Because that's why he answered that question, because they asked him in the verse above it, "Brothers, what shall we do? What should we do with this?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized." And then the promise for you is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for everyone that God calls. We're all called. So it's for all of us. It's not just for a few. It's for every one of us. And thank the Lord that he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us. He is our strength. It's where we get our power from. So we're going to close today. If any of you are in need of prayer, if you'd like for us to pray with you, any of you have a need of any kind, come up, we'll pray with you. If there's anyone, I don't see anyone who's never accepted the Lord, but I'll give that invitation. If there's anyone who's never accepted the Lord, you'd like to do that this morning, why, we would love to pray with you about that as well. So